I'm pleased to welcome back the voice of the Racers, Neil Bradley. Neil, thanks for coming back on Sounds Good.
Glad to be back, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
Last time we spoke, we said the Racers were about to get tested, and that was just a little bit before Thanksgiving. And they were, with three losses in a row against Auburn, Middle, and St. Mary's. But let's not talk about those. Let's talk about what's happened since the calendar turned to December, because now the Racers are actually riding a three-game winning streak with victories over Evansville, Lipscomb, and Southern Illinois, and TJ Sapp is now back and immediately contributing to the team. So let's go back and start with the game against Evansville on December 4th. The Racers win that in very close fashion, 65-63.
Yeah, the thing that sort of led up to that was, I guess, losing to St. Mary. It was a Sunday night, and just pummeled. Really never in the game, didn't do a lot. So Coach Steve Prohm came back, and on Monday and Tuesday, they didn't pick up a basketball for offensive purposes at all. It was all defense for 2 days until the shoot around against Evansville, which takes place at about 2 o'clock, and picked up a ball and tried it any offense. That's how much they needed to improve defensively, according to Coach Prohm. And it paid off. They actually had a really good effort against Evansville in the narrow victory, winning it 65-63. Evansville did shoot 47% from the field. That's a little higher than the target goal of 40 or under for Coach Prohm. But from three range, they didn't allow many shots, just 2 of 7. And the DJ Ballantyne kid, who, tell you what, he can score. He can get his shots a lot of ways. They limited what he could do from three-point range. He was forced to go inside. He still got his 25 points, but had to do it with 8 of 9 free throws, just 1 of 5 behind the arc. And what the Racers did is limit what the other players were able to do. The rebounding that had been terrible over the three-game losing stretch at least improved to where it was dead even, 32-32. And Jeffrey Moss, who just didn't look really aggressive in the St. Mary game, hit 5 of 9 three-pointers, had 20 points. Cameron Payne had a pretty good game with 14. And Dexter Fields, who had just kind of seemed out of it, and we found out why, he kind of had a viral infection, had 11 points. So they all bounced back offensively. They shot the ball better, except for free throws. I'll take the blame for that, because the previous game I said, well, it can't get any worse than this. And then they went 9 for 20 and hit 45%. So lesson learned, never challenge worse. Worse was listening. But they got the win, and I think that was much needed after that losing streak, Tracy. That gave them a little dose of confidence at the Evansville game heading into game two.
Then 3 days later, welcomed Lipscomb to the CFSB Center, and the Racers won in a game that was a little closer than I thought it might be, 73-69.
Yeah, it was very close. It was just one of those teams, you never really felt that they were about to take the lead on the Racers in the second half, but they just kept it close enough that you were nervous. Murray stayed up by 5 in the first half. They had a double-digit lead, but never could put them away. Lipscomb fought hard. They were able to really get balanced scoring, so the Racers really couldn't shut anybody down. But the Racers put 6 players in double figures, and finally they won the rebounding battle, 41-36. Also did better on their turnovers, something that had really plagued them in St. Mary with a dozen. Still not a great night from the free throw line, 22-37, but defensively this was their best game of the year. They held them to 41% shooting, 24% behind the arc. And you could really see progress just from that game to the next game. And, hey, suddenly we have what's called a winning streak. So that was nice.
Then Tuesday night, the Racers welcomed Southern Illinois into town, and also welcomed TJ Sapp, the Clemson transfer, to being able to play. And you told me, Neil, that TJ was going to be good. He might have been the second best player on the floor for the Racers on Tuesday. Racers end up beating SIU in that game, 73-65.
Yeah, and as predicted, you know, I'm so good with the predictions. You know, the kid's set out a year, so I said he's going to have a period of adjustment, and he did. He went one end down the floor and had a turnover. Then the other end of the floor had an error. Then that was it. So that was his period of adjustment. From there on, he hit 7 of 7 free throws. He made all 3 of his three-point shots, and he was just fantastic. 15 points, and you could just see the energy that he brought to the floor. First of all, the scoring is one thing. The defense is something else, but the hustle and the energy, the fans really fed off of it. It's one of the first times this season for extended periods that I saw the fans really get into it. And you have to realize this is a game where the students, for the most part, other than the ones who live in the area, they'd already gone home. So I know once the student body does get back in good numbers, they're going to like what they see out of TJ Sav. And he was sort of like someone who you'd had locked away somewhere and you let him out to play basketball. And I had interviewed him a few weeks ago on Media Day, and he said, you know, I've played since I was a little guy, 6 years old. I played every year of my life. And then 1 year, they say, you can't play this year. And he said, it made me, him, appreciate what had been taken away from me. And it's just through a transfer rule. It's through no fault of his own. But he really appreciates being able to play the game of basketball. And I think that really showed up.
Do you anticipate the Racers using him as their sixth man as they did against SIU, or is it just a matter of time until he works his way into the starting five?
Well, if he plays as he did the other night, you can't keep him out of the starting lineup as much as Coach Prohm might like to ride the wave. But the thing that you usually don't see is during a winning streak, you don't see changes in the starting lineup. Coaches are just reluctant to do that unless it was maybe a star player who had been injured and comes back into the fold. So it might take losing a game for that to happen. And then if they don't lose, you may not get a change. That can actually, you know, be done. The starting thing, I think it's more for fans than anything else. You do have, I guess, a few players here and there that may have the ego, oh, I'm starting and that's important to me. But for the most part, if it's working and you're winning ball games, TJ's minutes are going to be exactly the same whether he starts or not, because you can see that what he brings energy-wise, he's going to be out there a lot of minutes if he stays out of foul trouble. You could tell this is his first game with the new officiating rules, and he hadn't adjusted, had a couple of silly fouls and a couple of things that he's just going to have to clean up. And he's a mature kid. I know he'll get that done.
Now, one of the most interesting aspects of the SIU game actually happened afterwards, because their coach, Barry Henson, went into a post-game tirade that has gone viral. It was on ESPN. It's been all over pretty much every major sporting website. Did you get to witness this, or have you, since that game, gotten to see this?
Yeah, since that game I did, but I hadn't had a chance to see it, you know, on the air. And then, you know, after the game, I was talking to the reporters while I'm packing up equipment. I said, you should have heard the post-game comments from the coach. And they played a few of them for me. And I thought, wow. But I only heard a minute of them. I got to hear all of them the next day. And it was amazing. That's one of those things that coaches think a lot of that but don't say it.
And said all of it.
He said all of it pretty much. You know, calling out a player individually, to me that's very rare that you ever see a player call his own or a coach call his own player out. And he did apologize for that part out, that part. You know, there's all sorts of different ways, I guess, to ride a horse perhaps, and I'm not sure that's maybe the right way to do it. If it works for them and they win games, great. I much prefer and I'm going to use quotation marks, boring Steve Prohm, where he does the usual thing. He compliments where he should compliment, compliments the other team, and to me does it in a way that I feel much better once that's over. I think he represents what the university stands for in a way that I appreciate. I'll put it that way.
Let's talk about the game coming up tomorrow. It's one of the Racers' blood feuds as we travel to Bowling Green to take on Western Kentucky. What's your sense of this matchup?
A lot better than it was when we got off the plane at St. Mary's. Like, oh, you know, I wasn't looking forward to it. I got the weather map out thinking perhaps there'll be a blizzard or something. We can get a few more weeks and make it up later. But I feel really good about that as the Racers get sap, and they're playing well. They're playing with confidence defensively. They're making shots. They showed improvement rebounding well, and even the free throw shooting the last time out. So those are all positives. On the downside of that, Western Kentucky, they have a couple of transfers. A kid from Texas Tech, they played their first game on Wednesday night when they played Southern Miss, picked up a nice win there. So they have the transfer from Texas Tech, have another one from Butler. Both of them saw plus 30 minutes. Both of them scored in double figures. So suddenly this goes from a team that struggled in guard to a deep team. And the Hilltoppers, their problems, if you look at their box scores previously, they've been losing games because they can't shoot. Suddenly, they made over 50% from three range, 50% from the field, and 26 out of 30 from the free throw line. So they had a good game. They have to be very confident after that contest. They're 5-0 at home, so the Racers have their work cut out for them. But I feel very good that the Racers will give them a very good game. Make it close at the end. You never know what will happen.
The voice of the Racers, Neil Bradley, thanks so much for being on Sounds Good.
Glad to be here.